as the scent of their blood hot in his nostrils.
Talk, Silver, 'tis all talk with you. I can't spend talk round Marseille Harbour. Treasure's what I need, hot and solid in my hand.
We won't none of us reach no harbour nowhere unless we got a ship to sail us there. Hispaniola here needs looking after while I do what needs doing over there on the island. That's my duty. Yours and O'Brien's is right here on this boat.
Why don't you sit on the ship? I'll wire over there myself and lay them dead in half the time it'll take you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm not a bloody cripple.
Israel, watch your tongue.
Them's wounding words, friend Israel.
Well, you know what I mean.
Ah, I know the man I am, Israel. And so should you know, of old. Why, them that took this leg off me left me for dead, remember? And yet on one leg I chased them swift as a barracuda after sprats. Chased them and gulped them down bloody. And let the word spread far and wide. No man should ever make mock of one-legged Jack Silver. Not if he wanted to still be upright on his own 2 feet by the end of the day.
I ain't challenging you, Jack. That ain't my nature.
Oh, no?
No.
Maybe you should.
Huh?
What am I here before you know but one leg, a few grey hairs, a mangy bird, a crutch and a dagger. And there at your feet is the dagger.
What?
You could reach it faster than this poor cripple. Why don't you, Israel? One good stab and the ship is yours to command. The ship and the treasure itself. I'd make the move if I were you.
Israel, there's room in the hold. Let's
shut up.
Scared, Israel?
I ain't scared.
I'll lose respect for you if you are.
I ain't scared, I tell you.
Do it then. I would.
Yes. Damn you.
Ow! Oh, no! Get off me, you damn... Israel!
I'll take that, Israel.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared.
Up on my shoulder, Captain Flint. Leave him an eye or two.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared.
There, Israel. You earn my respect all over again.
Don't
cut your throat. Why would I? I need someone to look after the boat.
We'll stand guard here, Silver. Don't you worry.
I won't. Israel Hands might care to up anchor and sail away as soon as I'm a-rowing for that shoal there. But I knows Israel Hands. I knows the miserable life he'd be sailing back to without that treasure. I knows how the whiff of that treasure's the sole thing he's got to live for right now. As how his old friend John Silver's the one and only swab throwing him a lifeline in them cold, dark waters he's drowning in. Ain't that so, Israel? Ain't it?
Is so.
Then trusting you, I take my leave of you. Stay here, stay modest with that rum, and me and the rest will row back to you when we get hold of the treasure, your own shares included. Come, Captain Flint. Let's clean the blood off your beak and show you where there's juicier food.
You need a hand, Israel?
Damn right I need a hand. A hand pouring me a hot, fat cup of rum. Now.
Right.
Juicy food, bloody
big,
juicy food.
Soon after, Silver's jolly boat shoved off and pulled for shore.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Drink and devil had done for the rest.
The sun had gone down, and as the fog collected, it began to grow dark in earnest. I saw I must lose no time if I were to find Ben Gunn's boat that evening. The White Rock, visible enough above the brush, was some eighth of a mile further down the spit, and it took me a goodish while to get up with it. Crawling often on all fours among the scrub. Right below it, there was an exceedingly small hollow of green turf, and in the centre of the dell, a little tent made of goat skins. I lifted the side of the tent, and there was Ben Gunn's boat, a rude, lopsided framework of tough wood, and stretched upon that a covering of goat skin with the hair inside. There was one thwart set low, a kind of stretcher in the bows, and a double paddle for propulsion. Well, now that I had found the boat, I had taken another notion, and become so obstinately fond of it that I would have carried it out, I believe, in the teeth of Captain Smollett himself.
Your room's right there.
I drank that,
Ram.
I'm wanting more.
Just here, get it yourself.
As I rowed out, the Hispaniola loomed before me like a blot of something yet blacker than darkness. Soon I was alongside of her hawser and had laid hold. One cut with my sea gully and the Hispaniola would go humming down the tide. I opened the knife with my teeth and cut one strand after another, till the vessel swung only by two.
Here's the captain, Flick.
What's that?
Hey, what's that? It's the captain, I mean, not the bloody bird.
You sure of that?
I said it, didn't I?
Did you? Did you say it, or did you say something else to get the wind up?
I said what I said, and I meant it. I'll say it again, too.
There's a bloody Irishman. Always too bloody much to say.
Aye, aye. I'll shut up and punch you if you prefer.
You punch me?
Yeah, yeah.
Punch me?
If a parrot could peck you, I could punch you. Here's to that other Captain Flint.
I'll toast you with the broken end of this.
Dash it here. I'd chew it up for supper and spit it back.
Here.
No! You missed! You drunken sot!
The hurled rum bottle hit the water alongside me, even as, with a good, tough effort, I cut the last fibres through. I was almost instantly swept against the bows of the Hispaniola. At the same time, the schooner began to turn upon her heel, spinning slowly end for end across the current.
Oh, what the bloody hell's that? My head's spinning.
You're drunk.
I'm not as drunk as you.
I'm twice as drunk because I'm twice the man.
Oh, you're half the man because I'm half... No, because I'm half... twice... Oh, my head's spinning.
I rowed like a fiend, for I expected every moment to be swamped. At length, I was clear of my dangerous neighbour, and just as I gave the last impulsion, my hands came across a light cord that was trailing overboard, across the stern bulwarks. Instantly, I grasped it. Why I should have done so, I can hardly say. It was at first mere instinct, but once I had it in my hands, curiosity began to get the upper hand, and I determined I should have one look through the open cabin window from whence came those drunken cries. I pulled in hand over hand on the cord, and then rose to about half my height, and thus commanded the roof and a slice of the interior of the cabin.
Ooh. What did you put in that rum?
What? Oh. What? Rum! Rum I put in the bloody rum!
Poison? You put the old ship spinning about me?
It's spinning harder about me. You're the poisoner, you.
You are.
You are. Well,
I wouldn't poison you if I could get a sword through you.
Yeah.
I ought to have been a drunkard.
Ignorant bloody Englishman. Let me get a hold of you.
If I got a hold of you.
And do I get a hold of you?
And I got a hold of you.
I dropped upon the thwart again, seeing nothing for the moment but these two furious, encrimsoned faces swaying together under the smoky lamp. I shut my eyes to let them grow once more familiar with the darkness. I was surprised by a sudden lurch at the coracle. She yawed sharply and seemed to change her course. The speed in the meantime had strangely increased. I opened my eyes at once. All round me were little ripples, slightly phosphorescent. The current had turned at right angles, sweeping round along with it, the tall schooner and my own little dancing coracle, spinning us through the narrows for the open sea. Suddenly the schooner in front of me gave a violent yaw, turning perhaps through 20 degrees, and almost at the same moment, one shout followed another from on board.
Not get off me! Get off! What? What?
There ain't no rum spinning this thing around. We're cut loose. Up on deck, quick.
Deck. Oh, deck. Oh, which way's the deck?
Stick out your arse and I'll kick you the right direction.
What?
That way.
I lay down flat in the bottom of that wretched skiff and devoutly recommended my spirit to its maker. At the end of the straits, I made sure we must fall into some bar of raging breakers where all my troubles would be ended speedily. Gradually, weariness fell upon my mind, even in the midst of my terrors, until sleep at last supervened, and in my sea-tossed coracle, I lay and dreamed of home and the old Admiral Benbow.
Jim Hawkins, where are you? Jim?
Here, Ma.
What are you doing? Staring at those waves and dreaming again.
Dreaming?
What were you dreaming about today, eh? Pirates on the high seas.
Pirates?
Enough dreaming. You got chores in the real world.
Yes, chores.
Come on, your father's poorly. Needs looking after.
Pa's alive.
Alive? Of course he's alive. Don't you go tempting fate, stay easy then. Come on, your home's here. Not off among those silly waves and dreams of waves. Now there he is, over there. Go and help your poor father.
Yes.
Look at him there. He's lost something, as usual. Go, help him.
Pa. Pa, is that you? You all right, Pa? What are you doing?
Looking for him.
Searching around the floor like that, you... Have you lost something, Pa?
Lost. Lost. Yes, boy. Eyes. My eyes I've lost.
Pew!
You've seen them, lad, eh? Hey, rolling about the dusty floor. My eyes, boy. Where are they? Shall I take yours instead, eh? Give them here. Give them to all Pew. Give them. Give them. Give. Give.
No! No, Ma, open the door. Let me out.
Open the door? This is your home. You can't leave. Ever.
Out of my way. Open the door. Open the...
Yes, Jim. Step right out here. Long John will take you where you belong. Far from here. Cross the sea. To a bed in the briny deep.
Briny bed. Briny bed. Join the dead in the briny bed.
Captain Flint, take his eyes.
No! No, what? It was broad day when I awoke, finding myself in my coracle no longer fastened by the rope to the stern of the Hispaniola. Alone and buffeted in the waves past the southwest end of Treasure Island. The sun was up, but still hid from me behind the great bulk of the spyglass, which on this side descended almost to the sea in formidable cliffs. I was scarce a quarter of a mile to seaward, and it was my first thought to row in and land. That notion was soon given over. Among the fallen rocks, the breakers spouted and bellowed. I saw myself, if I ventured nearer, dashed to death upon the rough shore, or spending my strength in vain to scale the beetling crags. In the meantime, I had a better chance, as I supposed, ahead of me. To the north, in the direction the current was carrying us, lay a kindlier stretch of coast I'd seen marked as the Cape of the Woods. As we drew near, the coracle threading her way through waves full of peaks and smooth places and valleys, like any range of hills on dry land. I could see the Cape's green treetops swaying in the breeze, and I felt sure I should make the next promontory without fail. I tried my skill at paddling, but had hardly moved before the boat ran straight down a slope of water so steep that it made me giddy, and struck her nose with a spout of spray deep into the side of the next wave. I fell back into my old position, whereupon the coracle seemed to find her head again. It was plain she was not to be interfered with, and at that rate, What hope had I left of reaching land? The sight of those trees so near at hand had almost made me sick with longing. But the current had soon carried me past the point, and as the next reach of sea opened up, I beheld a sight that changed the nature of my thoughts. Right in front of me, not half a mile away, I beheld the Hispaniola sailing to and fro, up and down, north, south, east and west, in and out of the wind's eye, her white sails shivering. It was plain to me that nobody was steering. And if so, where were the men? Either they were dead drunk or deserted her. And perhaps if I could get on board, I might return the vessel to her captain. I set myself with all my strength and caution to paddle after the unsteered Hispaniola, with only now and then a blow upon the coracle's bows and a dash of foam in my face. I was now gaining rapidly on the schooner. The Hispaniola revolved slowly round her centre. Round she came till she was broadside onto me. Round still, till she had covered half, and then two-thirds, and then three-quarters of the distance that separated us. Immensely tall she looked to me from the coracle. And then, of a sudden, I began to comprehend. I had scarce time to think, to act and save myself. I was on the summit of one swell when the schooner came stooping over the next. The bowsprit was over my head. I sprang to my feet and leaped. With one hand I caught the jib boom, while my foot was lodged between the stay and the brace. As I clung there, a dull blow told me that the schooner had struck the coracle, and that I was left without retreat on the Hispaniola. I crawled inch by inch the length of the bowsprit, and tumbled onto the deck.
Hello? Hello, is anybody? Is anybody? Hello? Who's that? Who's that there? Who?
There on the deck were the two watchmen. Red-capped O'Brien on his back, stiff as a handspike. Arms stretched out like those of a crucifix, and his teeth showing through his open lips. Israel Hands propped against the bulwarks, his chin on his chest, his face as white as a tallow candle. At every jump of the schooner, Redcap slipped to and fro, but what was ghastly to behold? Neither his attitude nor his grin was disturbed. At every jump, too, Hans appeared still more to sink into himself, so that his face became little by little hid from me. I observed splashes of dark blood upon the planks.
What happened, Hans? You killed one another? In anger, in drink, in fear? And you so fearsome. Who'd have thought you could be so frightened yourself? What? Well, well. Come aboard, Mr. Hans.
What? Where? Where?
Where? Where what?
Close. Come closer.
What?
Closer. Where is it?
Where's what?
The brandy. The bloody brandy. I'm dying for a glug of bloody brandy.
Brandy.
There it is. There, on the bloody deck. I can't reach.
There it is. A drop or two left.
A drop or two. Give them here.
I've got biscuits in my pocket. Shouldn't you eat something first?
I'll eat the bloody brandy. Give it here.
It's your death.
Put it to my lips. Well, that's worth coming back from the dead for.
How badly are you hurt?
If that doctor was aboard, I'd be right enough. But I don't have no manner of luck, you see. And that's what's the matter with me.
You think, Mr. Hans, you've maybe made your own luck?
I think maybe you're right. And I'd spit in your eye if I had the spit to spare for pointing it out. Where might you have come from, anyhow?
I've... Why, I've come aboard to take possession of this ship, Mr. Hans. And you'll please regard me as your captain until further notice.
Captain?
Captain.
I'm sure I ain't had enough of those in my life.
And as captain, I'm not happy about these colours you're flying.
Colours?
The Jolly Roger, the skull and crossbones. That flag needs taking down and replacing with the Union Jack.
The Union Jack? Ain't no flag in the world had more piracy done under it than that one.
God save the king and an end to Captain Silver.
Silver's a rogue, but there's no thief like a king.
I won't have that kind of talk on my ship.
Too late, it's said. And this ship of yours, she'll sink easier than she'll sail.
But sail she will. I'll see to it.
Oh, you will you?
I suspect it would be to your advantage as much as mine.
I suppose it would. So what do we do about that?
I'm a captain open to suggestions.
Oh. I've a suggestion for you.
So long as it's reasonably polite, Mr. Hans. I'm all ears.
Then listen here. Me and O'Brien, God rest his rotten soul, we hoiked up the canvas on her, meaning for the sailor back. Well, O'Brien's dead now, dead as bilge. And who's to sail the ship, I wonder? You, boy? No, you ain't that man, I'll tell you straight. So look here. You gives me food, drink, and an old scarf or handkerchief to tie my wound up. And I'll tell you how to sail her back where you gotta be.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going back to Captain Kidd's anchorage. I mean to get into the North Inlet and beach her quietly there.
Do you now?
Yes, I do. And if you know what's good for you, you'll help me.
My. John Silver couldn't have said it firmer. Well, I tried my fling and I lost. It's you as the wind of me. North Inlet. Why, I haven't no choice, have I? If you asked me how to sail her up to execution dock, how could I not?
Then we have a bargain.
Help me bandage up this hole in me. Shove some more rum in me guts. And we're close as any man and his devil.
I reckon I know which of us is which. In 3 minutes, I had the Hispaniola sailing easily along the coast of Treasure Island. Soon we had turned the corner of the rocky hill that ends the island on the north. I was elated with my new command. The only shadow in that bright, sunshiny weather cast by the eyes of the coxswain, as they followed me derisively about the deck, and by the odd smile on his face.
Oh, my. Our boy can breast these waves like a real man. Was Captain Flint ever so fierce at the steering? Is it treasure he's sailing me towards, I wonder?
We had reached the mouth of the North Inlet. There, as we had no power to anchor, and dared not beach her till the tide had flowed a good deal farther, time hung on our hands. The coxswain told me how to lay the ship to. After a good many trials, I succeeded. And we both sat down to eat.
Just thinking, Captain.
Thinking?
About how much more I'd be enjoying this grub if we weren't sat right alongside the corpse of my old friend O'Brien.
If you didn't mind killing him, I can't see why you should be so squeamish about what's left of him.
In this sunshine, well, you can see the flies hatching out from here.
As soon as we're landed, we can bury him.
Landed? We're going to wait that long? Why, the flies will be eating of us by the time we reach the shore.
So? What do you suggest?
Why, out of love for the man, the best end for any sea dog. Why don't you go and slide him overboard?
Me?
I'm the invalid. And I don't reckon him so ornamental over there, do you?
I'm not strong enough. And I don't care for the job, so there he can lie for the time being. Flies and all.
This Hispaniola's an unlucky ship, Jim.
I noticed that, yes.
Power of men being killed.
Several of them right next to me, yes.
Yeah, I've never seen such dirty luck.
You're used to dirty luck, surely. What with all that dirty luck of your own you've made over the years?
Still, I made a heap of it for others while I was at it. Though sometimes, I admit, it's hard to keep that kind of luck from leaking through into your own. And I'm not keen on seeing my luck getting no worse, know what I mean?
Not exactly.
To put it straight, do you take it as a dead man is dead for good?
For good.
Or do we come alive again?
Alive? You were just complaining about the flies on him.
Oh, so he's nothing now, is he? Just meat for the flies?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Wouldn't?
You can kill the body, Mr. Hans, but not the spirit. O'Brien is in another world and may be watching us.
Watching? Well, what's the bloody point of killing them, if that's so?
A guilty conscience, Mr. Hans?
I ain't scared of spirits, I ain't.
No?
No. If there's such a thing, my years at sea must have seen such things swarming round me fiercer than the flies on O'Brien there. And they never yet kept me from killing the next one.
I'm so glad you're reassured.
I ain't wholly reassured. Why don't you do this poor, wounded fellow a favour, Jim, eh? And step down into that there cabin and fetch me a bottle of wine. That brandy's too strong for my head. And I've gone and drunk it all anyhow.
I noticed.
Will you, Jim, the wine?
White or red?
Red, Jim. And plenty of it, to help replace all this blood I've lost.
I'll see what I can do, but I'll have to dig for it.
You do that, Jim. Good lad. And I'll dig a hole for you, you high and mighty little brat.
He wanted me to leave the deck. So much was plain. I scuttled down the companion, slipped off my shoes, ran quietly along the sparred gallery, mounted the forecastle ladder, and popped my head out of the fore companion, knowing he would not expect to see me there.
Now then, where are you, my beauty? Ow!
He had risen to his hands and knees, and though his leg obviously hurt him sharply, it was at a good rattling rate that he trailed himself across the deck. In half a minute he had reached the port scuppers and picked, out of a coil of rope, a long knife, or rather a short dirk, discoloured to the hilt with blood.
Oh, yeah. You've drunk your own kind of wine, haven't you? And thirsty for more. Well, just wait a moment. Together we'll uncork us a fresh draught.
He tried the point upon his hand, and then, hastily concealing it in the bosom of his jacket, trundled back again into his old place against the bulwark. Yet we both desired to have the ship stranded safe enough, in a sheltered place, so that when the time came, she could be got off again with as little labour and danger as might be. Until that was done, I considered that my life would be spared. I laid my hand at random on a bottle of wine and made my reappearance on the deck.
Oh, why, there he is. My good Samaritan. Oh, no, Jim, you don't have to fuss over that. I ain't so weak and wounded I can't pop a cork with me few good teeth. Oh, fragrant as what? As life itself. Here's to life. Oh, Jim, no back-drinking cow's blood in the pampas could feel more heart-warmed than I do at the moment. Here, Jim, my backo, cut me a quid, would you? For I've no knife and scarce strength enough. It'll be the last backo I taste, no doubt. For poor old Israel's bound for his long home and no mistake.
Well, I'll cut you some tobacco, but if I was you and thought myself so doomed, I would go to my prayers like a Christian man.
Like a what? And for why?
Why? You've lived in sin and lies and blood. There's a man you killed lying at your feet this moment. For God's mercy, Mr. Hans, that's why.
For 30 years, Jim, I've sailed the seas and seen good and bad. Fair weather and foul. Knives going and whatnot. Well, now, I'll tell you. I've never seen good come of goodness yet. Him as strikes first is my fancy. And dead men don't bite. Them's my views. And amen to them, I say.
Many a fellow will be wary of being stuck and otherwise alone on a ship with a man bearing that philosophy.
Oh, yes, Jim. You might find yourself stabbed or slit wide at any moment.
Might I?
Except I'm wounded and dying and have no knife now, have I?
What a blessing for me.
Luck's an important thing for a sailor to have, Jim.
I dare say.
Luck and the nerve to seize it.
I'm sure.
On the subject of sailing.
Yes?
The tide's made good enough by now. Good enough for getting in.
You think so?
You just take my orders, Captain Hawkins, and we'll sail slapping and be done with it.
The navigation was delicate, the entrance to this northern anchorage narrow and shoal. I think I was a good steersman, and Hans was an excellent pilot, for we went about and dodged in, shaving the banks. The land closed around us. The shores of North Inlet were thickly wooded, and more like, what in truth it was, the estuary of a river. Right before us, at the southern end, we saw the wreck of a ship in the last stages of dilapidation. It had been a great vessel of 3 masts, but had lain so long exposed to the injuries of the weather that it was hung about with great webs of dripping seaweed. And on the deck of it, shore bushes had taken root and now flourished thick with flowers. It was a sad sight, but it showed us that the anchorage was calm.
Now, Jim, look there. There. Fine flat sand. A pet bit for to beach a ship in.
Well, once we've beached her, how do we get her off again?
Look. You take a line ashore at low water. Give it a winding round one of them big pines. Bring it back. Wind it round a capstan here. And lie to for the tide. Come high water, all hands take a tug on the line and she comes off sweet as nature. And now, boy, you stand by and turn that wheel nice and delicate like you was wrapping your mammy's birthday present. We're near the bit now. Starboard a little. So. Steady. Starboard. Larboard a little. Steady. Steady.
I'm going steady as I can.
Oh, steadier. Now, my hearty, luff, luff.
What?
Hem hard up, swing around. Point her at that sand right there, there.
Well, that's where I'm aiming her. I just... Watch those starboard bulwarks. Tell me when we... Hans, keep an eye out. Hans, tell me when... Hans, where are you?
Right here at your back, Jim.
My back? You're supposed to be looking out for...
I'm looking out for myself, boy. Seeing as how only one of us is getting off this ship alive, it makes its own kind of sense.
The knife. I knew you had it.
Did you? A lot of goodies, done
you? You reminded me to keep a hold of this.
A pistol, Jim. Against a knife, that ain't playing fair.
Against you, Israel Hans. It's plain I'm going to have to play any way I can.
Well, if we can't play fair, then I'll have to play fast.
No, get away. I will shoot you. I will.
You, Jim? Sweet young boy like you, out of your depth in a world of men like me, I doubt.
I will.
It takes a heart hard and bloody as this blade to kill a man, whatever the weapon. I can hear that heart of yours a-fluttering from here. Delicate thing it is, virgin soft. This heart in me, boy, is so old and battered. It's got barnacles. Your shot would bounce off it, boy. Had you the guts to fire, which you don't, do you?
Yes, I do. Keep back.
Go on, then. Try, do it.
I will.
Quick, lad. My knife and me, we're running out of patience. I want your body over the side there while there's still water enough to sink you in. Come on, then. I ain't afraid. Not like you, boy.
I'm not afraid. No. No! What?
Oh, dear, Jim. You're not telling me you didn't reprime and reload that thing after coming aboard, no? Because if you've taken a dousing off the seawater like you did, why, the powder just soaks up the damp and won't spark, which makes it a lot less useful than 9 or 10 inches of a knife like this.
No!
What you doing, lad? Trying to dodge? Playing a game? A little boy's game? Hiding behind the mask. Peek-a-boo. I sees ya. Nowhere to hide. You might as well step forward, Jim, and take what you're taking like a man.
You've got more to concern yourself with than me just at the moment.
Just at the moment, killing you's pleasure enough to be going on with.
You might not find what's coming next a pleasure at all.
What game are you playing at now?
If you weren't playing this game with me, you might have kept an eye on the ship.
What?
The ship and the shore, look!
Oh, he's got me. Oh, Brian, he's come back from the dead.
Maybe he doesn't like your smell any more than I do.
Come back. Get off me, O'Brien. Come back.
Yeah.
The sudden canting of the ship had made the deck no place for running on. Quick as thought, I sprang into the mizzen shrouds, rattled upward hand over hand, and did not draw a breath till I was seated on the crosstrees of the now sloped mast. I lost no time in changing the priming of my pistol.
You better come down, Jim. What do you think you are, a crow perched up here? I was knocking crows out of trees and nailing them up for fun when I wasn't half the age of you.
Come up and get me then.
Oh, I'm a-coming. Don't you fret. Dry land's right there, however rough the beaching. And I got shipmates to catch up with before Silver pockets all that treasure for himself. You're nothing but an idiot boy who's wasted enough of my time already.
An idiot boy with a reloaded pistol.
What?
Climb any further and I'll blow your brains out.
Oh, you're a bold one after all, Captain Jim.
So I'm beginning to think.
Which means I'll just have to throw this damn thing fast. Ow!
Hand's hurled knife had pinned me to the mast, the pain making me blindly fire and drop my pistol. He did not fall alone. The coxswain losing his grasp upon the shrouds and plunging headfirst into the water. Hans rose once to the surface in a lather of foam and blood, and then sank again for good. As the water settled, I could see him lying huddled on the clean bright sand in the shadow of the vessel's sides. A fish or two whipped past his body. Sometimes, by the quivering of the water, he appeared to move a little, as if he were trying to rise. But he was dead enough for all that. I began to feel sick, faint and terrified, hot blood running over my back and chest. The dirk where it had pinned my shoulder to the mast seemed to burn like a hot iron. Yet greater still was my horror of falling from the cross trees into that still green water beside the body of the coxswain. I clung with both hands till my nails ached, while thinking to pluck forth the dirk, but either it stuck too hard or my nerve failed me, and I desisted with a violent shudder. Oddly enough, that shudder did the business. The knife, in fact, had come near to missing me altogether. It held me by a mere pinch of skin, and this the shudder tore away. The blood ran down the faster, to be sure. But I was my own master again, and only tacked to the mast by my coat and shirt. These last I broke with a sudden jerk. And then regained the deck by the starboard shrouds. I did what I could for my wound. It pained me and still bled freely, but it was neither deep nor dangerous. Nor did it greatly gall me when I used my arm. Not even when it and its fellow heaved O'Brien overboard.
Over you go.
I could see him and Israel lying side by side, the quick fishes steering to and fro over both. Holding the cut hawser in both hands, I let myself drop softly overboard. The water scarcely reached my waist. I waded ashore, leaving the Hispaniola on her side, her mainsail trailing wide upon the surface of the bay. About the same time, the sun went fairly down, and the breeze whistled low in the dusk among the pines. I began to set my face homeward for the blockhouse and my companions. Gradually, the night fell blacker. It was all I could do to guide myself even roughly towards my destination. Yet soon the moon rose, and with this to help me, I impatiently drew near to the stockade. In front of me, a glow of a different colour appeared among the trees. It was red and hot, and now and again it was a little darkened. The embers of a bonfire smouldering. For the life of me, I could not think what it might be. At last I came right down upon the clearing. The blockhouse itself lay in black shadow on its sandy rise. On its other side, an immense fire had burned itself into clear embers, and shed a steady red reverberation. There was not a soul stirring. It had not been our way to build great fires, and I began to fear that something had gone wrong whilst I was absent.
Hello? Hello? Captain, Squire, Mr. Gray? Hello? Oh, sorry. So dark. Sleeping, are you? Nice to hear you snoring away. After all, I'll tell you in the morning, shall I? Oops. Sorry. It is very dark in here. What? Who's that? Captain? Squire?
Pieces of eight! Pieces of eight! Devil dab you! Pieces of eight!
What?
Oh, wakey, wakey! Prepare to board! Keep all up and light!
Who's that? What's that? Captain Flint!
Silver!
Who goes? Who's that there? Catch him!
No, you won't!
Yes, we bloody will! Gotcha! That you, Jim, lad? How pleasant of you to drop in. Bring a torch. Let me see my young friend.
Silver, what have you done with them?
Done with who, Jim? Done with who?
Those I left behind. The squire, the captain, Abe Gray.
Left them behind, did you? Maybe that's the smartest move you made yet.
What have you done?
Taking this place off their hands. Obvious. Cozier than keeping by that swamp, eh, boys?
You killed them. Those fires outside.
They're gone, Jim. That's as much as you need to know, just at the moment. It's just us. My five shipmates and I, and you, friend, Jim. Well, I took you for a friend. Till you hightailed it into them trees the moment we landed, remember?
Here's the torch, Jack.
Careful, careful. You don't want to burn the face off the lad. Not when it's such a sweet and innocent face.
Sorry, Jack.
Lit it off the fire out there.
Yes, still a smouldering.
Heaven knows we threw enough stuff on it. Take it away, Dick. Stick the glim in the woody.
Jack.
And you, gentlemen. Bring yourselves too. You needn't stand up for Mr. Hawkins. He'll excuse you. You may lay to that. That's so, Jim?
Yes.
No. You see, Jim. So be as you are here, I'll give you a piece of my mind. All right with you?
All right.
I've always liked you. A lad of spirit. And the picture of my own self when I was young and handsome. Can you imagine? I was keen all along for you to join us. To take your share and die a gentleman. And now, my cock, you've got to.
I have.
Captain Smollett was a fine seaman in his day, but stiff on discipline. Duty's duty was his chant. And fair enough so far as that goes. Be glad you're clear of the captain. The doctor himself, oh, you should have heard him, Jim. He went dead again, you.
Dead again?
Ungrateful scamp, that's what he said when he heard of you hopping over the fence like that in breach of all your orders.
I thought I might catch up with him. I didn't. He came back.
Well, he was here yesterday morning, I know that much.
And what did you do to him? What have you done to all of them?
Why, they're not here.
I can see that.
And wouldn't have you back if you run to them now a-begging.
What? Then they're alive. The captain, the doctor, the squire.
Why, Jim, what do you think I did? Lived up to my old nickname by slitting their throats and barbecuing them on that fire out there.
I did wonder.
Why, what brand of man do you take your old friend for?
Where are they?
I'm telling you, boy, it makes no damn bit of difference to you. For they won't have you back. And without you start a third ship's company all by yourself, which might be lonely, you'll have to join with Captain Silver, you.
I will.
Give him a slap, Jack. We'll know where he stands then.
No, you listen to me, lad. No one's a pressing of you.
Oh, no.
No. Take your bearings. None of us won't hurt you, mate. You hear that, lads? Dick.
I hears.
Morgan?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Time
goes so pleasant in young Jim's company, after all.
Well, if I'm to choose, I declare I have a right to know what's what. and why you're here and where my friends are.
What's what? He'd be a lucky one as no dad.
You'll perhaps batten down your hatches till you're spoke to, my friend. We can always cope with one more dead man. Hey, Dick.
Sorry, Jack.
Come, Jim. Take a stroll with me in the moonlight outside. Fresh air never killed no one. Come.
It's 3 morning in the dog watch. Down came Dr. Livesey with a flag of truce. Says he, Captain Silver, you're sold out. Ship's gone. Well, maybe we'd been taking a glass and a song to help it down. Leastways, none of us had looked out. Now we looked out, and by thunder, the old ship, yes, was gone. Well, says the doctor, let's bargain. We bargained, him and I. Here's our part of the bargain. We got stores, brandy, blockhouse, firewood.
And then? What did they get? Where did they go?
I don't rightly know. And right at this moment, I don't rightly care. The forest took them. Maybe something between them trees finished them already.
But you don't know that.
Lest you take it into that head of yours that you was included in the treaty, here's the last word that was said. How many are you now, says I. Total. 4, says he. 4, and one of us wounded. As for that boy, says he, I don't know where he is, confound him, says he, nor I don't much care. We're about sick of them. These was his words.
Oh.
Don't look so crestfallen, Jim. That's these highborn types for you. Can cut you deeper with a word than a ruffian like me can with a blade.
And now I'm... what? To choose? To choose between you and them?
To choose, thinking of this, Jim. That in this world, them squires and doctors and captains all look after their own, and their own only. Why, to the likes of them, the likes of us are never nothing more than servants, slaves, ballast on their grand voyages, fit for dumping, dropping in the dark at a moment's notice. And any friendly words they give us ahead of that way is just to shut us up and keep us sailing in the right direction. And us, Jim, us vagabonds, us castaways, us orphans of the wild ocean, us who'll never get command of a ship or a grand house or even the civilized life without we steal it for ourselves, we're crushed. We're sunk in the world of fine men like that. Unless we stick together. And fight together and rise together in the face of them. I ask you now, stand with me and mine, or stand not at all.
But I've chosen my side, Silver. And I've been standing and fighting on it some while now.
Oh, yes.
Have you wondered why you stand here now in such a bad way? Ship lost, treasure lost, men lost, your whole business gone to wreck? It's on account of me, Silver. Me.
What?
I was in the apple barrel that night we sighted land. And I heard you and Dick Johnson and Israel Hands and told every word you said before the hour was out.
Did you know?
And as for the schooner, it was I who cut her cable, who shot dead Hands after he killed O'Brien and saw both men sunk in the sea. And it was I who brought the Hispaniola where you'll never see her more.
Be that so?
So the laugh's on my side. I've had the top of this business from the first. I no more fear you than I fear a fly. I no more stand with you than I'd stand with a poor mad dog. Kill me, if you please, or spare me. But one thing I'll say, and no more. If you spare me, well, when you fellows are in court for piracy, I'll save you all I can. It is for you to choose.
Is it no?
Yes. Kill another and do yourselves no good, or spare me and keep a witness to save you from the gallows.
Why, Jim, ain't you bold and damn bold to suggest such a thing to me?
I can afford to be bold. Understand, it's you who's got to make a deal with me, not me with you.
Why, I once knew a boy reckless as you where his own neck were concerned. I warn you, Jim, he didn't grow up well.
Oh, no?
No. Take a look. He's right here in front of you.
That ain't you getting sentimental again, is it, Jack?
Who's that, Morgan? What you doing skulking about in the dark like that?
Well, you've been listening at that there loophole, Jack.
Me too, Jack. Rest of the boys likewise.
Didn't like what we was hearing.
We did not.
Been casting me own mind back to Brizzle. And that tavern of yours. Wasn't it the lad here blew the whistle on poor old Black Dog?
And what I hear, wasn't it him who made away with old Billy Bones' map in the first place?
Wasn't it indeed? Hey, boy, speak to me.
It was.
Yeah. He's been a problem, that boy, from first to last.
Yeah. He twists this knife in him. He'll be a problem no more.
Yeah. John Silver here's our captain, and no fearsome man with a knife did ever I hear of. Maybe he wants to be the one to fillet this sprat.
Of course, if he cares to go first. What say you, Jack?
I was explaining to
your opinion, boy, was not asked. Aye. You said and done enough already. Let me cut the tongue out of him, Jack, for starters, and you can finish him off later, if you still got the nerve, Captain. Now out of my way.
Reverse there!
Silver!
Avast there, says I. Who are you, Ted Morgan? An upstart with his own eye on being captain, is that it? By the powers, I'll teach you better. Cross me and you'll go where many a good man's gone before you. Some to the yardarm and some by the board, and all to feed the fishes. There's never a man looked me between the eyes and seen a good day afterwards. Ted Morgan, you may lay to that.
Don't mean Morgan ain't right, Jack.
You think so?
I stood hazing long enough in my life. I'll be hanged if I'll be hazed by you, John Silver.
Hanged? Maybe we can sort you out on that count.
You take sides with that boy against your own.
Would I? That depends.
Depends?
Depends on whether any others of you gentlemen want to have it out with me, eh? Say?
Jack, see sense.
Sense, is it? Put a name on that sense you're getting at. Have I lived this many years to see the son of a rum-punching cock, his hat athwart my house at the latter end of it? Well, I'm ready. Take a cutlass, him that dares, and I'll see the colour of his inside. Crutch an hour before my pipe smoked. Well, any of you? Any of you gentlemen of fortune up for trying your luck with this old cripple? Well?
Jack.
That's your sort, is it? Well, you're a gay lad to look at, understand this. I'm a captain here by election. I'm a captain here because I'm the best man by a long sea mile. You won't fight as gentlemen of fortune should. Then, by thunder, you'll obey. This boy here, he's more a man than any pair of rats among you. What I say is this. Let me see him that'll lay a hand on him. That's what I say. And you may lay to it.
This crew's dissatisfied, Captain. And this crew has its rights like other crews.
Right.
And by your own rules, I takes it we got us the right to step over there for a council.
Council, is it?
It's our right.
Why, what captain would I be if I denied you that?
All right. Over here, boys. Other end of the house. Stir yourselves.
Folks or council, according to rules, Captain.
Now look you here, Jim Hawkins. You're within half a plank of death. And what's a hung sight worse? Of torture. They're going to throw me off. But now I says to myself, you stand by Hawkins. John, and Hawkins will stand by you. You're his last card, and by the living thunder, John, he's yours. Back to back, says I. You save your witness, and he'll save your neck.
You mean, all's lost?
Ship gone, neck gone. That's the size of it. As for that lot in their council, mark me. They're outright fools and cowards. I'll save you, if I can, from them. But see here, Jim. Tit for tat. You save Long John from swinging.
What I can do, I'll do.
Then it's a bargain. I've played enough rough games in my life to know when a game's up, and I know likewise a lad that's staunch. Ah, you that's young. You and me might have done a power of good together.
Of good? Perhaps.
And you can help me with something straight away. Something a trouble in my mind, bad as any of the rest of this. A question.
What question?
The simple, confounding question of why that doctor of yours should have given me the chart.
He gave... Dr. Livesey, he gave you the map.
And for why, Jim? For why? A trick, is it? A trap? There's something under it, to be sure, for bad or good.
Silver?
Listen up, Jack.
Here they come.
Let them. I'll still have a shot in my locker. What's the word, gentlemen?
The first word is inside.
Inside?
The hut. Let's be civilized about this.
Never let it be said John Silver was anything less. Jim, you wait outside.
No, he comes in too.
Your quarrel, if quarrel it is a quarrel with me. The boy...
boy been bringing upset wherever he goes. We've things to settle with him as sure as we you. Both of you, inside.
Don't make a fight of this, Jack. Not out here. It might get bloody.
I'll just bet.
Move, both of you.
Go on, inside. Come on,
get on.
All right, then. Here we are. You stand close, Jim. What's the verdict, eh? Speak up. Step forward if one of you got the nerve. What? We're all skulking in the shadows like frightened children, are we? Who's the hangman? Show me.
Go on. Go!
I'm doing it. I'm... Whoa!
Dick. Through the short straw, did you?
Do it.
Step up, lad. I won't eat you. Hand it over, lubber. I know the rules. I won't hurt the deputation.
Here, then.
Here.
Hand it over, then.
Here. There. I done it.
Got it?
I got it.
You see it? That's our decision, that is.
I see it.
The black spot.
And so it is.
Where might you have got the paper? You that never read nor wrote. Not when your hands could be kept full with a dagger or a bottle. Why, look, you. This ain't lucky. You've gone and cut this out of a Bible. What fools cut a Bible?
It was Dick himself.
Then Dick best get on his knees and say his prayers.
What?
You've seen your slice of luck, Dick. Ever read that book? Never hear of the wrath of God?
Never you mind that, Silver. You got our wrath to worry over. This crew has tipped you the black spot in full council, as in duty bound. Right. Just you turn it over and see what's wrote there.
That's right.
In duty bound, then. Ah, deposed. That's it, is it? Very pretty wrote, to be sure. Like print, I swear. You wrote this, Dick?
I wrote it.
Indeed, Morgan. Why, you'll be captain next, I shouldn't wonder.
Maybe.
I'll tell you this definite. I'm your captain still. Till you outs with your grievances and I'll give my reply. In the meantime, your black spot ain't worth a biscuit.
Grievances, Silver? You chew on this for a bloody biscuit. First, you've made a hash of this cruise. Second, you let the enemy out of this here trap for nothing. Why did they want out? I don't know, but it's pretty plain they wanted it. And third... You wouldn't let us go at him upon the march.
Right.
And then fourth, there's this here boy.
Aye, will I swing and sundry for you, bungling?
That's right.
Indeed. Well, now, you all know what I wanted. And you all know that if that had been done, we'd be aboard the Hispaniola this moment. Every man of us alive and the treasure in the hold. And who was it who crossed me, forced my hand the day we landed and began this dance? Anderson, Hans, and you, Ted Morgan. The last above board of that same meddling crew. And you have the Davy Jones insolence to up and stand for captain over me. You tell me this cruise is bungled, and so it is. Why, we're that near the gibbet, my neck's stiff with thinking on it. And who's it down to but him and Hans and Anderson and all you other fools that has listened to them and not to me?
We're the fools as is going to do for you before you get anywhere near a gibbet. I'd show a touch more respect if I was you.
If you were me, Morgan, things this moment wouldn't be half so bad.
You got more respect for that sneaking, snivelling, turncoating kid than you have for your shipmates.
I don't see him passing no black spot.
No. But the black spot passed on you goes for him likewise. That right, lads?
Yeah, that's right.
No sense being untidy with things like this, sir.
And still you sail with no sense in your hold.
Sense? Sense? What kind of sense?
Why, shiver my timbers, ain't he a hostage? Are you gonna waste a hostage?
kill that boy, not me, mates.
So you let him live to Damas, like you let them others run off?
Yes, yes, I let them others go, and have you thought...